We're here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Trade Talk with Growth Energy and Tom Bias. And Tom, well, first thing we want to talk about is the election that just happened and what you think of the outcome.
Well, I think, Cindy, I speak for all Americans in saying thank goodness it's over with. And, all the ads and the nonstop stuff and the lack of facts and, you know, the tremendous amount of money that's spent on those elections is just, I don't know what to say. It's just unbelievable. And, again, I'm glad it's over. You know, a lot of the issues that need to be addressed in Congress have all been punted until after the election. And now, hopefully, the members coming back to town next week got that message from the voters. It's like, come on, let's move forward. Roll up your shirt sleeves. Everybody work together. Set aside the partisan differences, and let's do what's right for the country. And obviously, we have some issues pending in Congress that we hope get addressed with the extension of the cellulosic tax credit, extension of the alternative minimum fuel tax credit so retailers can put in flex pumps, things like that. And then the farm bill, which, you know, it's just amazes me that these guys don't want to do the haven't wanted to do the right thing. Now's the time, all right? Election's over. Let's move forward. Let's work together. Figure it out. And they can do that. We used to be able to do that in Washington. So,
you used to. You've been in this business a long time. Have you ever seen it this crazy?
I have not. It's like both sides, it's like the Super Bowl. Neither side wants the other to gain any yardage, let alone score any points that's going to help them win an election. And that's unfortunate. And the makeup continues to get more polarized, right? A lot of the people that you'd call them in the center that were willing to sit down and listen to the other side. I mean, that's not happening. They don't even listen to each other, you know. They talk past each other. And, you know, there's usually a way to figure this out that's better for the country. And that just hadn't happened. It's really disappointing.
Well, we've got a decision important for the industry coming up, hopefully, this month. Talk about what you're looking forward to as far as EPA coming out with a decision on RFS.
Well, I think we're pretty confident that the proponents of the RFS waiver did not prove the point that needs to be proved, that the economic harm was attributable to the RFS. You know, anytime anyone tries to tell you that the only problem is one use of one commodity really doesn't understand markets. And, you know, I think a lot of the fear factor when it wasn't raining and stuff, and we finally got into harvest, and, yeah, we had a reduction, but we still had a pretty good-sized corn crop. And how the market has handled that it maybe has allayed some of the fears, but if you base their request on the facts, they have not been able to prove it. In fact, we could contend, and we did in our comments, that the economic harm to all of America, if you messed with the RFS, was going to be greater than if you left it alone. It's greater for farmers, you know, and farm income. It's greater for consumers and higher gas prices. It costs you jobs. The last time I looked, everybody wanted more jobs, not less. I don't think they proved it. Anyone with any common sense would say the economic harm was caused by Mother Nature, not the ethanol industry. But anyway, we feel pretty good. We feel real good about that.
And if they did waive it, what would happen with the future as far as next generation of cellulosic ethanol?
See, that's the critical point that a lot of them are missing. And some of the people that filed the waiver are wanting to get less grain alcohol out there and more of the next generation. And they're actually, I contend, working against their own self-interest. Because what's going to happen is you're sending a signal to investors, don't invest because the government's going to mess around with this all the time. And that uncertainty or the lack of certainty is what scares people away.
Now, how did the drought and the higher corn prices this year affect ethanol production this year?
Well, there's no doubt it's had an impact. It's not just the cost of the input you have to worry about, but what are you getting for the end product and the net? And those margins have been negative most of the year. One, we got overproduction. That's why we worked so hard to get E15 into the marketplace. That's market access. And two, the price of ethanol didn't follow gasoline. It's been following corn. And so those margins have not been good. I think, Cindy, and you know this, I grew up as a farmer. I farmed full-time for 20 years. I still own a farm. Next year we're going to have a good corn crop. We were a few rains away this year forever putting together the biggest lie I've ever heard in Washington, food versus fuel. It makes no sense. It's not factually based. And we'll get beyond it. We're going to have a good year next year. I mean, if you look, we had almost 11 billion bushel corn crop, currently estimation, with the worst possible growing conditions ever. The capacity of America's farmers cannot be understated because they know how to produce. And I know if I were still farming full time, probably I wouldn't have a yard next year. It'd be in corn and soybeans. Huh?
Well, now how have ethanol producers been responding to this kind of an environment, especially to try and come up with new co-products? I just see Pacific Ethanol has gotten in a new corn oil extraction technology. How are the plants responding to try and, make their margins a little bit better?
Well, you hit on a really good point, and a lot of people underestimate this. They think the corn ethanol industry has already matured. We're still gaining efficiencies. And if you just look over the past 5 years, water reduction's been reduced considerably. Energy use has been reduced. New products have come on. Corn oil is one of them. The ability to extract that. They're doing all kinds of exciting stuff on designing the DDGs for better utilization by the livestock and poultry industry. And we're not there yet. And, again, we're the most efficient. We're cheaper to produce. There's no one that can match our production capabilities. And so we just need to do more of it, not less.
Well, this year we finally saw E15 come online after how long? It took forever.
Well, we filed that waiver in March of 2009. And so 3.5 years.
Wow, unbelievable. And now we've got sales going on out there. Your thoughts on what's happened so far this year with E15 and what you're looking for in 2013?
Well, what happened on E15 is every step in the process, there were either regulatory or legal hurdles erected by our competition that don't want us to succeed. And we've had to try to work through every one of them. And I tell everybody, it's kind of like an Olympic high hurdle marathon race, except when you get close to the finish line, another hurdle gets erected. We're slowly working through those hurdles. I think that we'll see a lot of progress after the first of the year. We're down in the weeds discussing stuff such as the delivery mechanisms and things like that we'll get worked through. But it's been frustrating that it hasn't occurred. We know their demand is there from consumers. It's having the ability to have the market access to be able to provide it to them. And, all our efforts with NASCAR have proven that, and they've now put 3 million miles in competition on those vehicles. They haven't had one ethanol-related engine failure. They've gained horsepower. They didn't lose mileage. It's better for the environment. And now it's just give us a chance to be competitive. And we'll win that argument. And I think once you start seeing people offering a lower price product to the consumer that's a great product, it will expand, and kind of like the first generation did.
Well, when we first saw E15 finally approved, then we ran into, as you said, another hurdle with the blend that they couldn't use the right blend stock during the summer. They had to wait until that was over in September to actually really get it, start moving it out in the market. Is that going to happen again next summer?
Hopefully not. But I tell you, you don't have enough tape for me to go through all those little hurdles that got erected. And like I said, we've been able to successfully address them, but they pop up just automatically, kind of like that carnival game Whack-A-Mole. You put one down and six pop up. We're going to win that, but it has been slow and frustrating because really it's a no-brainer. I mean, you stop and think about it. It doesn't damage the cars. And recently, even some of the auto mill companies that have been critics said, oh, yeah, our cars now are okay for E15. We're slowly getting there.
Let's talk about American Ethanol. You brought it up at NASCAR. This was the second year. How did it go this year?
Really well. Really well. You know, I think going into it, there were even some in the NASCAR world and the NASCAR fans wondering if this was the right thing to do. We saw it as an opportunity to get to an audience of roughly 80 million people. One in four Americans are NASCAR fans. And what a great validator for our product. Because, you know, Cindy, there's so much misinformation out there. We still hear it. Oh, my car won't run right. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to lose mileage. It's going to ruin my engine. And we can say it till we're blue in the face, but the real value with NASCAR is this is not us saying it. This is a third party that's actually using the product. And so I think it's went well. Our partners, National Corn, and many people in the ethanol industry that have stepped up, and allied industries, I think they get it. And if you look at the consumers or the NASCAR fan surveys and stuff, we've come a long way. It's pretty slow when you start out in the hole, and you got to move the ball forward.
All right, good. Anything else you'd like to add, Tom?
No, thanks. Just appreciate your help.
Well, it's great to see you as always, and looking forward to a great year in 2013 for ethanol. Here at the NAFB Trade Talk, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.